The following message is brought to you by Christian Sermons Online, broadcasting Christ-centered messages around the world 24 hours a day. Check us out at christiansermonsonline.com. Sometimes
just joined us for television, wherever you may be, all over Central America, all over South America, all over the great country of Canada, parts of Africa, Australia, Hong Kong beaming into China, the country of Mexico, and all over this United States, we welcome you to one of the greatest places on the face of the earth, the Bay Area of California, Oakland. And people love Jesus. Hallelujah. Honey, I want you to come and greet these people. The Bible says that the female gender is the weaker sex, and God never makes a mistake, but sometimes you have problems discerning exactly what he meant. All I know is that I've been in my jogging. That's the only exercise I get. I've been reduced to walking. And she's still jogging.
He's getting old. Well, praise the Lord. Are you happy to be here? Well, I certainly am. You know, listening to them sing the song a while ago about how great thou art, I couldn't help but think about the great, big, wonderful God that we serve. But you know, in thinking about that, we don't serve God because he's great and he's big and he's wonderful. If I would ask you tonight that know him as your Savior and your Lord, why do you serve him? You would not answer he's all powerful or he knows everything. But if I said, why do you serve the Lord? You would simply say, I love him. And that's why we serve him. And why do we love him? Because God is love. And if we know him, then to know him is to love. You know, this past week, I read a letter that came into our office and it broke my heart. But it's a perfect example of just what I've been talking about. A prisoner wrote in that was in the penitentiary serving a life sentence for murdering his wife. He did it while he was under the influence of alcohol and didn't really know what he was doing until after he had killed her and he had sobered up. And he said, you know, Brother Swaggart, I've sat here in prison for all these many, many months that I've been here, and I've hated myself, and I thought that I had to be the worst of all people. And he said, I have felt so unloved, and I couldn't understand or could not even comprehend that anybody could even like me. Said, hence I have no friends here in the penitentiary because I feel so low within myself. But he said, you know, for months I've been watching the telecast, and while watching that telecast, said, something is beginning to stir within me. And said, I don't know, but I'm beginning to feel that maybe there is something worth salvaging in my life. And he said, I've not asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart, but he said, each day I'm getting a little closer because, said, listening to you preach, he said, I'm beginning to think that maybe that God could love me. And let me tell you this, that is what is so beautiful about the Lord Jesus Christ. We never get too low that he doesn't love us. We're just so thrilled to be here tonight. We love each one of you. You're special to us. The Lord bless you, and I hope that he just blesses you so much that you'll never forget the crusade. Praise the Lord.
A rugged cross
kingdom walk. In hearts alone, he wrote his love.
He wrote his love
in the crimson red.
In crimson red,
and wore the thorn. Stripes upon his back that day he wore with pride, and from those wounds there flowed crimson cleansing stream, yes. That was a cover for the soul unclean. A rugged cross,
a rugged cross
became a throne. His kingdom was in hearts alone. Thank you, Jesus. He wrote his love.
He wrote his love
in the crimson red.
that bright city. We'll walk on streets that are pure as gold. It will all be gladness up there forever. We'll see rare beauties that's never been told. It won't be long till we'll be crossing, moving on. Christ means to me, I would say that he's more than I could show. He's more than you'll ever know. Could have seen me just yesterday. You know why he's life and breath to me. You would know why he is more than I could show. He's more than you'll ever know.
Christ means more to me than you'll ever know. Christ means more to me than I could possibly show. More, so much more. He's more than you'll ever know. Christ means more to me than you'll ever know. Christ means more to me than I could possibly show.
Till my trophy And now, from the Alameda County Coliseum in Oakland, California, evangelist Jimmy Swaggart speaks from the Old Testament book of Daniel as his message, The Young Man Who Made Up His Mind, begins.
If you have your Bibles tonight, please turn with me to the book of Daniel. 1 of the greatest prophets that ever lived. The book of Daniel, reading from the very first chapter. Daniel 1:8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Let me read it again. Now remember, the Daniel that you're reading of here was about 17 years old. We think of him as mature and developed. He was far more mature than many, much older. But yet he was only about 17, and he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I want to use for subject, preaching a few minutes tonight, the young man who made up his mind. To live for God is going to take more than making a decision. To live for God is going to take more than just belonging to a church. You're going to have to make a firm decision in Christ that will mean several things. It'll mean the world will not favor your decision. Satan will array the forces of hell against you. I will not stand here and be untruthful to you and tell you it will be easy. It will not. Nothing good is. But if you will do it, most don't. Sad to say, Jesus said, narrow is the way and few there be that find it. But if you do it, you will gain eternal life and a peace that passeth all understanding. The young man who made up his mind, bow your heads, please. Father, as we minister tonight, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would anoint us to preach and anoint us to say that which we ought to say and do. We need thy help. We ask thy help and we ask thy guidance. We would ask in the name of Jesus not only to anoint us to speak, but anoint these to hear and anoint those that watch by television. Father, we ask it all in Jesus' holy name, and everyone said amen and amen. The only way that I can characterize tonight the scene that I have just read to you and the portend of it is by trying, God forbid, to express to you what it would mean like for the United States of America to be besieged by a foreign power. And after some time, our nation that has known prosperity and freedom as no other nation on the face of the earth has ever known to fall. And for multiple thousands of individuals to be marched away to serve as slaves, some to be incorporated in the science and the activities of a foreign land and a foreign government. I pray that never, never happens. But that's what happened to Israel. And I was reading just today that all the nations that forget God will lose their way, lose their direction, and will eventually lose all that is dear to their hearts and dear to their lives. And America is on that road tonight. I say it sadly, but I say it truthfully. Israel had fallen after repeated warnings by God Almighty through prophet after prophet. King after king had become more and more evil. The wickedness seemed to roll and flow like raw sewage. Irrespective of God speaking to this wayward people, His chosen people, His most anointed people, His people that He had blessed and touched as He had no other on the face of the earth. They turned their backs upon Him, worshiped Baal, sacrificed their children to the fire, went into the deepest of most despicable wickedness, until God could no longer look at the stench and the stink of the sin. Now when all else had failed, when every door had been closed and the prophets' mouths had been silenced, Israel had fallen. Jerusalem had fallen. Daniel, just a young man, taken with others to the land of Shinar, Babylon. Now another land, another people, heathenistic, worshippers of idols. Their very names, idolistic, of the idols they worship. Nabopolassar, mighty leader of Babylon. His son Nebuchadnezzar. Nebo at the head of each name. Set out to besiege Jerusalem, and while he was in the process, his father Nabopolassar died. The god Nebo, a deity of Baal worship, was the god that they worshipped. Belshazzar, Nebo. Oddly enough, the people that once worshipped God were no longer supreme. The people that made God their king was no longer supreme. Now heathenistic, atheistic idol worshippers were supreme on the planet Earth. Think many times that God would never allow America to fall. He would never allow this nation to lose its way. But we must also remember that God can never condone sin. He never can. And unless this land experiences revival, judgment's coming. As sure as I stand on this platform, I'll say it again, unless we turn back to God and experience revival, judgment is coming on the United States of America. Israel lost her way, and even though I may sound negative, America is losing her way. The evangelists today, this new covenant administration, the New Testament, stands in the place that the prophet of old, the Old Testament, stood. It's not my business to win friends. It's not my business to win popularity contests. It's not my business to make you like me. It's my business to preach the word of Almighty God. That's my business. John said, the axe is laid to the root of the tree, and the tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And as Israel 2,600 years ago was losing her way, the United States of America is losing her way tonight. Now listen to me. Why? I suppose there would be a cornucopia of reasons. Why? Why today are we sitting on the edge? Why today is there a foreboding in the hearts and lives of people? Why? Why is our president fighting to try to bring this nation politically back on course? Why? Why is this country embedded in sin until it boggles the mind? Why? Many reasons. We could stand and enumerate them half the night. One of the basic reasons that this nation trembles and shakes tonight, one of the basic reasons, or the basic reason, singular, that sin rolls like filth through our country. Our children are now attending schools where God is banned. Jesus Christ is not allowed to be mentioned unless he's mentioned in an historical fashion. Where Hollywood pours its filth through our television sets and calls it entertainment. Where today $100 billion a year is spent on drugs until it's the biggest business in the United States of America. Why? Many reasons. 1.5 million abortions last year. You could say 1.5 million murders last year. Why? Why? America hated all over the world. Why? One reason, and the basic reason I believe, is because the pulpit is silent. Did you hear what I said? If there is ever a need tonight, there's a need for preachers of the gospel that are not particularly interested in what the individuals think that sit in their congregations. They're not particularly interested in what others may think, but they're there for one purpose, and that's to preach the word of Almighty God. That's their business. That's what God has called them to do. If it hurts somebody's feelings, too bad. If it makes people angry, too bad. If it makes people angry until they gnash their teeth, too bad. But America was turned to God by preachers of the gospel full of the Holy Ghost that call sin, sin, heaven pure, and hell hot. But today the pulpits are silent. Today, the National Council of Churches in the United States of America, which is the keystone of America's religious establishment, this is what it opposes. Talking about the National Council of Churches in the United States, it opposes prayer in schools. It opposes tuition tax credits, meaning that churches ought to be taxed. Religious institutions ought to be taxed, they say. It opposes controls on immigration, supposedly allowing all illegal aliens into the United States. It opposes free enterprise. You say, Jimmy Swaggart, that's hard. I know it, but it's the truth. I'm not talking about the price of cotton or the price of oil or the price of gold or the price of wheat. I'm talking about your eternal soul. And one day you're going to stand before God Almighty. And I've got to stand before God Almighty. And God's going to ask me, did you tell him the truth? And I'm telling you, your soul is at stake. Find a church somewhere that still shouts hallelujah and the praises of the Lord God of glory. And get your family in it. Get your children in its Sunday schools. Get under a preacher that preaches the glory of Almighty God, anointed by the Holy Ghost, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that'll preach the word of Almighty God with an anointing and convicting as you've never heard before. And I don't care what the world says or what the devil says. Serve God and love Jesus, because he's soon to come. And one day you've got to stand before him. Somebody said that's too hard. Maybe the devil thinks it's too hard. He thinks it's way too hard. But Satan, I've got news for you. I'm just getting started. I'm just rolling into gear. All right. They proposed to Daniel, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Times have changed, Daniel. You're a long ways from home now, and you don't have to worry about those old shibboleths and that old-fashioned stuff that your mom and your daddy taught you. It went out a long time ago. We don't do that today in our church. You hear me? Today we've streamlined it. We're going to feed you a little pork. We're going to have a good little glass of cold duck. Won't hurt you, to do you good. Brand new age. But Daniel, this is the year 616. All of that old fogey stuff went out a long time ago. Don't you know people don't act like that no more? Who ever heard of any worshiping a God you can't see? Why, we've got good gods. You can see them. We make them ourselves. Daniel's decision was a hard one. It wasn't really hard for him in the sense, but it was a hard decision. Daniel said, fellas, you can keep your sliced pork, because my God says I can't eat the stuff. You can keep your wine, because my God says leave it alone. You may not can see him, but if you fool around him much, you can feel him. Glory. Now, there was no prophet or priest or anyone there to encourage Daniel. I want to get a point across to you. When you get right down to it, young lady, no one can carry you through the gate of pearl. It may be hard, but you're going to have to stand before your high school friends. And even though they laugh at you and they make fun of you and they snicker, but you're going to have to say, I don't do it. You've got to do it. Boy, you're going to have to look at your so-called buddies and say, you can drink your beer if you want to, you can smoke your pot if you want to, you can tell your dirty jokes if you want to, and you may laugh at me and say I'm crazy and I'm a holy roller and I don't have good sense, but I am not going to do it. Mister, when you sit down to the table and your boss is there and all of your buddies are there you work with and they're all laughing and talking and they don't serve Jesus and they don't love God, and in the restaurant they bring the food and they dive in it and you're going to sit there and shake and tremble. But you're going to have to stop and say, wait a minute, men. I'm going to thank God for the food. Come on. Come on. Football player, you're going to have to look your team members in the face. When they're drinking their champagne after the Invaders have just won a big game. And they're popping a champagne corks, and you're going to have to stand up all 245 pounds of bone and muscle. And going to say, fellas, I serve Jesus. I live for God. And I'm going to give my heart and my life to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Make up your mind! I'm not going to slide it over and con you. Preachers can be the biggest cons in the world. Come on now and make a decision for Jesus. And when you do, the moment you say yes to Him, a Cadillac is going to roll up and you're going to have it easy the rest of your life. Money's going to roll down on you and you'll never have even a headache as long as you live the rest of all of your existence. It's easy sailing from here on out. That's a con job. Not true. Not true. I'm going to tell you, I like the Marines. Now, you that are Navy and you that are Army and you that are Air Force, I like you too. But something about Marines that I like. I like that from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. I like it. Their slogan is, we only want a few good men. Hallelujah. When you walk down an aisle to say yes to Jesus, you're going to walk it by yourself. You're going to walk it with devil staring at you saying you can't make it, you're not man enough, you'll never get there. The world is going to laugh at you. Half of your family's going to think your elevator didn't reach all the way to the top. The world's going to say you're nuts. You hear me? You listening to me? They're going to call you a holy roller. They're going to call you a Jesus freak. They're going to call you a nut. They're going to say you're half-baked. They're going to say you've lost your mind. Is it clear enough? Are you understanding me? Later you're going to sit there in the beauty shop. And they're about ready to put that thing down over your... hair. Somebody right next to you, another lady. Nowadays you can't tell what it is. You don't know if it's a man or a woman or an it. Come on, stay with me. Don't lose me. Somebody's going to say, I don't believe in all that old Jesus stuff. And it's going to hit you. And you can grab that hood and pull it down. Or you can shove it up and step up and say, but I want to tell you it's real. I know it's real and I can feel it in my heart. He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me that I am as whole as old. And the love and the joy is filling my soul. It's going to be rough. was hard on Daniel. It was a hard decision. No priest to help him. No prophet to help him. No kinfolk to help him. No one alone. A 17-year-old boy in a heathen land. He made his mind up. I will not defile myself. It's never easy. Never is.
Why are you telling me this, Swaggart? I'm telling you this because it's never easy to take a stand. When you take a stand, you have to do it alone, right by yourself. One day I've got to stand before God Almighty. And when He asks me to give account for what I've preached, I've got to say, Lord, to the best of my ability, I did my very best not to spare, but to preach the gospel exactly as I saw it, irrespective of who liked it or who did not like it. Because I'm trying to please one person, not Jimmy Swaggart, not you, but I'm trying my best to please him. When Jesus Christ stood before men in this world, He spoke with authority. You see, I get thousands of letters and up to 30,000 a day. And some of them say, why do you preach like you do? Why don't you love everybody? Let me tell you, parents that will not correct their children don't love their children. Reason I preach like I do is because I love you. That's the reason I preach like I do. When Jesus preached, you had no doubt about what He was talking about. Jesus preached against abortion. He said, "Thou shalt not kill." He preached against this godless sex education in our public schools. He said, if you even look at a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery already in your heart. And that godless sex education in our public schools fosters adultery. He preached against false religions. He called the purveyors of false religions wolves in sheep's clothing. He preached against false professors of religion. He said, you will stand before God one day and say, Lord, Lord, we've cast out devils in Thy name and we've done many mighty works in Thy name. And He will say, depart, I've never known you. He preached against them. He preached about hell. He said, it's a lake of fire. He preached about salvation, and He didn't pat everybody on the back and say, don't worry about it. If you do the best you can do, you're going to get in. He said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in there. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. He had no doubt about what He was saying. Daniel's decision was not only a hard one, it was a heart decision. It came from his heart. His heart. I had a professor of sociology the other day. He had a degree from Harvard, several of them. And when you have a degree from Harvard, anyone knows you know everything. You know more than God, because God didn't go to Harvard. I hope you are watching. He said these evangelists are actors. They put on a good show. He's a sociologist, you know. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, to them that perish, the gospel is foolishness. But we that are saved, it is the power of God. I'm not standing here behind this microphone trying to touch your intellect. God is not going to come down on your poor little pitiful, puny, pathetic level. He's not worried about trying to split the atom. He made it. And even though some of you don't know it, he knows man didn't come from monkeys. He knows it. I'm not bothering with your intellect. God's not bothering with your intellect. He's not going to get down on your pathetic level and try to figure out mathematical equations with you. He's not worried about psychology or sociology. God touches your heart. God's trying to get to your heart. God's trying to get to your heart. God's trying to get to your heart. Daniel's answer was from his heart. You'll never learn about God in your head. I'm a little blunt, but you understand me. You'll never learn about God in your head. He's got to get in your heart. That's the reason the churches and the preachers that are dead, and there's no power there, there's no anointing there, there's no Holy Spirit there, there's no conviction there. They may preach an intellectual gospel, but they'll never really get men to Jesus, because this gospel is a gospel of the heart. It's a gospel of the heart. That's the reason we say hallelujah. That's the reason we say praise the Lord. That's the reason we say thank you, Jesus. It's a gospel of the heart. I was preaching a meeting some time ago in a distant state, and the place was so full, I could not walk a little bit preaching. I could not even take a step because the platform was full. The place was packed. And that night when I started to give the altar call, Spirit of God started to move in such a way. And I watched a man. He must have weighed 400 pounds. And a smaller one could not have gotten through that crowd because they were packed together. But 400 pounds made it through. I mean, he was a man. Powerful. I've never seen a face so hard in all my life. I've never seen a face so hard. It was like his countenance had been just literally marked by hell. And I found out later that he had been a member of the mafia. He had been a contract man, a trigger man. I mean the guy that goes out and pulls the trigger and kills the man. That's what he had been. He'd been to the very depths. He had done everything a human being could do. The depths that he had gone was the very groveling filth of hell. He stood there with tears rolling down his cheeks. He stood there as God got a hold of him. God reached out and took him, and he trembled and shook, gave his heart to Jesus. I never saw him anymore, but I told this over television about 2 years ago. And that must have happened 7, 8 years, 10 years ago. But I received a letter from him. He said, Brother Swaggart, I saw the telecast. And it brought back so many memories of that night. Jesus came into my heart, saved this member of the mafia, made me a member of the kingdom of Almighty God. Not only saved me, but baptized me in the Holy Ghost. He said, you know, I was the one that carried out the contracts for the mafia. And then when I got saved and quit, they put a contract out on my life. Some way or another, he said, God spared me and I'm still here. But it makes no difference if I stay or go, because I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb, washed in Calvary's cleansing flow. Heart decision. It's a heart decision. It's got to come from your heart. Was the decision also of purity. He said, I will not defile myself. Now listen, this is a rotten age. It's dirty. Flicked on news, one of the network news programs the other morning, just last week. It happened some time ago when you see it over television. And in one of our states, they are teaching eighth graders in public schools how to use contraceptives. Think of what I'm One lady that writes a column in several newspapers. It's a dirty age. Rotten, it's filthy. Her little 11-year-old girl brought the book home from school. And in that book was descriptive techniques for 11-year-olds to engage in sexual masturbation. And the mother was incensed and took it back to the principal and said, "What in the world is this doing in our school?" He looked at it and said, "Oh, I'm sorry," said, "my secretary went through this book to make certain there was no mention of God in it, and she should have caught this. That's the reason the rot and the sewage and the filth is in it, is because God is no longer in it." It's rotten, it's dirty. The other day, a program came over television. A little program, I won't name it because I don't want to popularize the thing. But it's to the kids. Mostly kids watch it. If you'll notice, most of these situation comedies on television's aimed at children. Aimed at children for a reason, because it's brainwashing them. It's sneaking in adultery, fornication, homosexuality, as if though it's perfectly normal, living together before marriage, premarital sex. This one was doing the same thing, advocating adultery. Little kids. The man sits down and explains to him how that if you like somebody, it's all right for you to sleep with them, even though you're not married to them. You're not able nowadays to say much good about anything going on, but I want to say something good. One of the sponsors of that ribald program, spewing out its filth under the guise of comedial entertainment. One of the sponsors was the Campbell Soup Company that makes Campbell Soup, Campbell Vegetable Soup. They wrote them and said, "We will not lend the name of Campbell Soup anymore to any type of programming of this nature." Thank God. Hallelujah. Don't write me now and say somebody's paying you to do this. You're a liar if you think so. But I'm going to buy more Campbell Soup than I've ever bought in my life. You hear what I'm telling you? It's a rotten age. It's a dirty age. They've got a system in our public schools now, elementary as well as junior high, called values clarification. I mentioned it to those of you watching the TV on one of the programs a short time ago. I won't go through it. It's a simple term, values clarification. You would hear it, you would think it's nothing wrong with it. That's great, that's good. It's taught to our children. It's got the word value in it, so it must be good. It is one of the most evil, deadly, degrading, hellish, rotten, humanistic. It's not humanistic, it's humanism. Satanic humanism that's being put in the minds of children. It's situational ethics. Morality, so-called situational morality. No God, no values. Here's what one of them wrote. I could give the name of the woman, but I won't do it. She wrote this. Taught to the children in our schools. Little ditty. It says, "It's okay to lie. It's okay to steal. It's okay to have premarital sex. It's okay to cheat. It's okay to kill. If these things are a part of your own value system and you have classified these for yourself." Talking to children now. "The important thing is not what values you choose, but that you have chosen them yourself freely and without concern or pressure by parents, spouse, priest, friends, ministers, or by social pressure of any kind." That is what is being taught to many of our kids. Humanism, secular humanism. which means no God, without God. It's a rotten, dirty, filthy age. But Daniel said, I will not defile myself. And last of all, his decision was a decision for a lifetime. If you don't make it teenagers now, you probably won't make it when you get older. Most don't. A few do. Most don't. In New Orleans, Louisiana, a man stands. He's tall, about 6'6". They called him the rail splitter. His name was Abraham Lincoln. He just might be the greatest man as far as taking a stand in the midst of adversity that the United States of America has ever produced. He stood in New Orleans, Louisiana before he was president. He was a young man in his early 20s. And he watched some black men and women being sold like animals on an auction block as slaves. He looked at it. He watched this beastly, agonizing, hellish, rotten bondage of hell. He watched it and he looked at it. He was in his early 20s. He watched them stand there, treated as subhumans, made by God and in his image. And he heard the crack of the whip. And tears rolled down his cheeks. And he said, God, if you will give me the strength, I will fight this thing. And I will stamp it out. And I will rid this nation of this draining sore. I'm nothing but a rail splitter from Kentucky, from Ohio, from Illinois. But I'll do my best. And you that sit here in this place tonight, and you that watch me by television, and your skin is darker than mine, I would have to stand and look at you with shame in my heart at what happened those years ago. But thank God a man had the courage to say, I'll do what I can to stop it. It's up to you tonight. You can go with the crowd, or you can stand out like Daniel. There are few men in the history of man that lived as Daniel lived and saw what Daniel saw and gave to the world what Daniel gave to the world. Bow your heads, please. Precious Lord, Heavenly Father, I ask tonight that your love and your grace move and touch the hearts of the people. I'm asking you, dear Lord, that these simple, halting words that we've uttered to these people, oh, dear God, it's growing late. I know it is. We're trying to sound the alarm. We're trying to warn men, to tell them to get ready and to get right.
us to do it, God, in thy way, as you desire it. And I would ask it in the holy name of Jesus. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. You tonight, whomever you may be, are seated in the place that Daniel was seated, spiritually speaking, so long ago. This man, not a lot of them like it, but thank God there were a few. It's up to you tonight. You, but television, it's up to you. What are you going to do? You're going to go with the crowd to hell, or are you going to step out and say, Jesus, I'm coming? The night that Billy Sunday was saved, some of the greatest ball players in the world were standing by his side, Chicago, Illinois, across the street from the Pacific Garden Mission. The band was playing one of the old Fanny Crosby songs. Holy Ghost conviction gripped him. He stepped out and said, boys, I'm going to Jesus. Takes courage for this ball player to say, I'm living for God. But thank God they're doing it. How many in this building tonight? Thousands of people. I don't know your heart, but God does. And God is speaking to you. He's telling you to cut the shoreline, launch out into the deep. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Come on, he says. Take up your cross and follow after me, and I'll make you my disciple. How many in this building tonight? You're living in an age that is hedonistic. You're living in an age that is erotic. You're living in an age that's dirty. Satan is making his last play. But God is calling and speaking to you. And how many in this Coliseum would slip up a hand? Jimmy Swaggart, I'm not living right. I'm going in the wrong direction. I need God. I need prayer. I'm tired of living the way I am. I want to step out for him and follow him. All right, I want everyone to stand, please. Everybody in this building, stand.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod.
Brother Swaggart, please. I want those of you that are watching by television to watch me also, and I want you to listen very attentively, very carefully, please. I think that each one of you standing here sense it as I sense it, and as these distinguished ministers of the gospel sense it, and every Christian really, that we're living in troublesome times. We need God. The only way we're going to make it through
is with God. And as he helped Daniel so long ago in a foreign land, a long, long ways from home, he'll help you. But tonight you've got to take a stand. It doesn't make any difference who, when, what, or where. What people like or don't like, what your neighbors or your friends or even your parents or your children say. You've got to say it with tenderness and love, but yet with firmness. I'm going to serve Jesus. That's what you've got to do. And I believe the Holy Spirit has put that in your heart. You've got to say, I know I'm different. I know that the world won't understand it, but I've got to live for God. Now I'm going to pray the sinner's prayer. I want you to repeat it after me. Praying this little old prayer won't really save you. It won't really do anything for you. But if you believe it, if you believe it, it will. Saying words, going through some type of prescription or spiritual exercise won't do it. But if you'll look to him, believe him, he'll change your heart, change your life, change your very soul. And I want you to bow your heads, please. And I want you to close your eyes. I want you to repeat this after me and believe it with everything in you. And you, by television, pray the same thing in your home or motel or wherever you are, please. Now let us pray. Dear God in heaven, I'm so sorry for my sins. The way I've lived, the things I've done. Please forgive me. Cleanse me with your precious blood from all unrighteousness. I'm sorry for the way I've lived, for the things I've done. From this moment on, I want to follow Jesus. Whatever the price, whatever the cost, I'll follow him. According to his word, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, this moment, with my mouth, I confess Jesus Christ. In my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and he is alive. In front of all of these people and the God of heaven, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, my Redeemer, and my Master. And according to his word, in front of these people, I'm redeemed, I'm washed, I'm cleansed, I'm changed. This moment, I am saved. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Again. scars that follow my forgetting sea.
Take away all the strife that followed a wasted life that tried to build on the dust
of a foolish dream. Now that corridor, so much time, somewhere in the corner of my mind. And if all the world should recall, don't let me see.
Somehow among the ashes,
then I burned on my way back home to thee. Lord, don't let me find one single thing among the ruins that could bring to my mind one memory. That followed all my pain. Wounds of my shame, I never in your great name and cast them all into your, yes, Jesus. Forgetting sin.
Take away every bit of the strife that tried to build a lie on the dust of a foolish dream. And down that corridor of time, somewhere back there in the corner of my mind. And if all the world should recall, don't let me remember them at home. And if all the world should recall, don't let me see. Don't let me see.
was lost and lonely. My heart was full of sin. God looked down and saw me and drew me close to Him. He told me how much He loved me. Then He bade me to come on in. And He said, if you are sorry, I'll wash away your sin. God took away my yesterdays and left me free from sin. Thank you, Jesus. And in that home of glory, He'll never mention them. In a land far away, they'll always stay in that old deep sea called forgetting. Took away my yesterdays, that moment that we met some golden daybreak. Hallelujah. Jesus will come some golden day. Paddles all one, He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Yes, Master, I'm waiting for you. Some golden day break for Lord, forget my foolish fears, never be lonely again, never again. Sing it again, children, one more time. I'll never be lonely again, never.
Never again.
For I have opened my heart's door to Him.
My heart's door.
Hallelujah. For I'll brush away the tears and I'll forget my foolish fears, never be lonely again, never again, never be lonely again.
Oh,
Well, it's time we, the people, stand up for what is right. It's time we squared our shoulders back and raised our swords to fight. For the Bible is my weapon and the Spirit is my shield. The church needs more of its members to be soldiers in the field. Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper. With your
just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. They're gone and they're gone.
cease to flow, then death will come without life-giving flow. Has the soul lost its savor, then my life has not favor to Calvary I must go. There's a healing sacrifice. Come, ye sad and broken hearted, sinner bent beneath the
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For further information and to discover other sermons, visit us at ChristianSermonsOnline.com.